A single mother cries as her two-year-old won't be quiet. The father of the child that had been left her when she was pregnant, blaming her for conceiving the child and refusing to deal with it by getting rid of the fetus. It had been more than a week now since anyone had offered her relief. But she thinks, am I a bad mother? The crying doesn't seem to stop. Her own loneliness, her own mother having in essence abandoned her years ago, her own loneliness won't go away. She has friends, but she doesn't believe she can call on them for this kind of help. And in the middle of the night, as the second hour of crying of the child turns into a third, a woman comes into my office, not in this church, in a previous church a few years ago. She has not been able to share her secret with very many people. She has a love for her husband, but it is clearly strained. Every day after work, he stops at the slot machines. Time, lies, feeling of abandonment all sweep her trust and her dignity. What we know about addiction is that both the addict suffers, though this is hard for non-addicts to understand, and the significant people in their lives also suffer. Addiction is a horrible illness, whether it be alcohol, drugs, sex, gambling, gaming, and there are others. It robs the soul, it makes liars out of the addict, it strains and often destroys relationships, and can't be overcome by sheer willpower on the person's own behalf. Marty Hogan, who we mentioned here last week, is the author of Healer of Our Every Ill, and when that was chosen for last week, I had chosen this song and hadn't realized it was the same author until this week ago. Wrote this piece as well, You Are Salt of the Earth, O People, for a catechismal retreat, actually, where those who were considering becoming confirmed in the Anglican tradition had come together to learn about their faith and to make their commitment. And so it is a song that certainly in our setting could be sung at a baptismal service. And it speaks to not only the calling of the individual Christian, but actually to the calling of all the followers of Jesus. The scripture we read this morning comes as part of the Sermon on the Mount. And in a sense, it becomes the summary for that Sermon on the Mount. And at first, we read the Blesseds, the Beatitudes, which are very beautiful. And at the end of the passage comes this about salt and light. The Sermon on the Mount, as we have used it in our catechism class this past year, we used it over three weeks of the 12-week, because as Mennonites, we have understood it to give us the essence of Jesus' teaching. And so the Sermon on the Mount is mentioned more often than any part of the first four Gospels in the Anabaptist writings of the 16th century. And it is a summary, and then we have in this here a summary in a sense. So lines like, turn the other cheek, love without being loved in return. To follow Jesus is to have Jesus at our center and is to live the Sermon on the Mount. I may have said this before, but it's appropriate again to mention here again. A Lutheran professor, a beloved Lutheran professor who taught for many years at the University of Manitoba, was speaking when I was a student at Canadian Mennonite Baba College. And he had a very interesting relationship. Many third-year CMBC students would graduate and then go to U of M, and many of them would end up taking a course with this professor. You can ask me his name later if you want, and you may actually recognize the last name. I won't say it here. And he had a mostly love-hate would be not quite right, but he had a love relationship with Mennonites that included a pushing us. And so he honored our tradition and felt we needed to learn from his tradition. So at that chapel talk at Canadian Mennonite Bible College, he used this passage. And he said, "You Mennonites are fantastic light on the hill and lousy salt." So what do we think he meant by that? Traditionally, we have been known as a wonderful example to the world. And this is not to be dismissed at all, and he wouldn't dismiss it either. It is a wonderful trait in many ways that even our old order friends exhibit. Being an example as to how we live together, how we talk about our faith, how we live our faith within our communities. People, at least traditionally, tended to know who we were and what we stood for. And often, for example, I remember hearing in early generations that if a Mennonite businessman shook your hand, you didn't need it on paper. There was a saying at one time, at least in certain circles like that. People knew who we were and what we stood for. But this Lutheran professor thought that we as Mennonites turned out, at least at that point still, to be lousy salt. As we said here this morning, salt blends into the meat, and it loses itself in the meat, and it preserves the meat. We in our culture, of course, we would also say it enhances the flavor. And we have always had a problem with losing ourselves in the culture. If we lose ourselves in the culture, if we are part of the world around us, will we lose what we are? And in a sense, that's what salt does. And I guess the ideal here of what Jesus is saying, both are there, and clearly there's a tension that we have to work at. But which side do, and there might be different differences within the congregation, which side do we need to work at more? Being light or being salt? It's a challenge I would leave with you. The hymn has four movements. The first movement, or the first verse, is about salt for the kingdom of God. Getting involved in the place where we will become dirty. Even sometimes it will seem to us like we are compromising. How do we get involved in the life of an addict without enabling them? Or how do we support the struggling spouse or partner of an addict? Or how do we support those who are making choices that we do not agree with, but we are still called to be salt even in those situations? And even if we cannot get them to change their choices, can our saltiness still help them move in good directions? But the second verse moves us on to more familiar territory. We are a light, O people, light of the city of God, shine so holy and bright. This is the place where our community has been helpful, although I think it's helpful for us to admit that we stumble as communities, we are not as pure as we would like to be. And I think by admitting that we are not as pure as we would like to be, we become more authentic in our witness, even as a light, I would propose. But we work with covenants to grow, to change, to be shaped, and to be seen. And in the third verse, we are invited to be a seed. You are a seed of the word, O people. Bring forth the kingdom of justice, seeds of mercy and seeds of justice. In a sense, some people have recently said this is the Mennonite verse, where we have emphasized in recent years mercy and justice in the world. Where are the injustices in our world? There are those of us here who have experienced injustice. Some of us in World War II or in the aftermath or in Soviet Russia, we certainly, those of you who experienced those kinds of injustice. But some of us have experienced injustice here as well, and maybe even among each other. But we have much injustice in our city and our world around us. And to become seeds to grow in this world which in need of our mercy and justice from God through us is what we are called to. Now the first three verses in the hymn are you. You are salt. You are light. You are a seed. But also I ask you to notice that these yous are not singular. They're collective. Sure, we are each a part of the you, but it is more about us as a body. But the fourth verse, the author changes from you to we. We are a blessed people. Love our journey and love our homeland. Wow, that's a beautiful understanding of the journey that we're on. And it puts into play another tension, which are both at the same time. We talk about our homeland sometimes as heaven, but we also know that Jesus taught us that our homeland is the kingdom of God where we are at. But it is at the same time also a journey that we are called. And the hymnist says, love our journey. Sometimes we want the end of the journey. We don't want what's today and what's tomorrow. But the hymnist invites us to a very biblical theme of loving the journey that we're on and loving the homeland. And these are both realities at the same time in our lives. On earth as it is in heaven, the Old Testament is full of language about the journey. The journey in the wilderness is seen as key to Israel, learning to live in the land. And they learned in the desert many lessons, some of which they didn't want to learn. And on our journeys, we have these bumps and ways that God is teaching us as well. But we do get weary of the journey, and we do seek rest in the homeland. So I believe that Marty Hagen has caught the words of Scripture, the words of Scripture that we are called to be salt and light. The words of Scripture that we are on a journey. The words of Scripture that we are God's seeds scattered into this world. May each one of us catch Jesus' call to be salt and light. Amen.